Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Whether you're tuning in through Conversations Radio Network, we welcome you. Those joining us on the radio dial in my home state of Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM, we're glad you all could tune in today. As well as those joining us in Atlanta at 106 Live, we're glad you all could be with us as well. Author Christine Samoki is making her first appearance on our program today. She's written a great book that not only combines history, but also, I think, a great story for all of us when it comes to love and life lessons. It's called Children of Italy, Love, Secrets, and Betrayal. We're going to talk to Christine not only about how her own family kind of inspired this story, but also what it was like for her to take readers through time to be able to create these cast of characters and to be able to allow us to see how no matter what year it is or what the time might be or who we're talking about, and in some cases, love actually can win out. If you're just still hearing about the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get your own copy. But Christine, hello to you and welcome to the program.
Hello, Cyrus. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, the pleasure's definitely all mine. As I was just telling you before we went on here, I wrote my review on Amazon.com this morning. We'll remind people a little bit later how they can get the book. But, Christine, what has it been like for you? Because one of the things I noticed as I was going to write my own review, the book just came out this summer. You already have, a couple dozen reviews already on the book. What has it been like for you to see the way that people are responding to this story?
Oh, it's been really a surprise and very nice. People have been good to me and kind to write and to give me their feedback, and I appreciate it. I appreciate you writing your review also. It's been pretty wonderful to share my family story and to have a good response.
Right. And you mentioned, your family story. I should say that's kind of where the storyline began. It is historical fiction for sure. But I think that the great thing, Christine, about the book is, as I said in my review, and I really do believe this, and I think for people who are wondering, okay, what can I take away from this? Even though the book is set in the 1920s and covers this period of time, I mean, it really does show us for all of us how, to me, the importance of all the big stuff in life, right? I mean, forgiveness, moving ahead, trying to be better today than we were yesterday. Did you know going into this, even having your own family as a backdrop, Christine, that these were all themes you wanted to tackle in this book?
Probably not initially. It probably just sort of unraveled as I wrote. I think I had to do a little forgiving when I learned about the flaws of my great-grandfather, because my grandmother would never talk about his flaws. So after she passed away, her younger sister was the one who told me some of the things that that made it hard to come to the U.S. from Italy, and then also what he did to combat his loneliness while he was here for 12 years alone. So I think some of the issues came out just as I was writing it, and I had to deal with some of those topics as they unfolded.
So I guess an obvious question would be then, Christine, I mean, it's one thing for you to be able to discover these things on your own. What made you decide that this is a story that you wanted to share with the world?
When I was in graduate school, I was writing a paper, sort of family history type of paper, and I interviewed my grandmother about her journey from Italy to America in the 1920s and what it was like for her family. And I thought at the time, boy, this would make a good novel, but I didn't really have a conflict. And so then years later, after I talked to my aunt and she told me what some of the struggles were and what some of the flaws of her father were, then I said, now that's a story that most people would be interested in. And I think everybody in their family and in their own life has times when they weren't at their best or they didn't always make the right decisions. And I said, people will be able to relate to that people try and they try to do what's best for their family, but sometimes they fall short.
Right. And I think there is this thing that we can kind of relate to as well. I'm probably going to get some of these pronunciations wrong, Christine, so I'm going to ask you to forgive me on that and definitely correct me. Alessandro, is that how you say his name?
Alessandro, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, good. I got one. Okay. So with Alessandro, I mean, the thing, did you know with his character, because we've been talking, of course, already about your family. And, of course, that then will correspond with what we're able to read in the book. What about his character? I mean, was he something that kind of came to you as you were developing the conflict? Or did you know already that, you know, this would go beyond just, the father figure in the book, but that also the daughter would also have her own conflict when it came to love?
When I first started writing the book, I didn't really think about her having a love interest until maybe later on toward the end of the story. But then I decided, you know, she would be a teenager coming over on the boat, and of course, you know, she might meet someone, and so that just sort of came later. That wasn't in the original idea, but I sort of based him a little bit, I would say, some of his personality on my own husband, and just because he was determined and hardworking, like my husband is, and I thought that many immigrants have to have that personality, because otherwise they would never even have the thought to leave what they know and come to something completely new.
And I bring up Alessandro because it does seem as though, I mean, you know, I'm an optimist for sure, Christine, in my life. I have never experienced love at first sight, but if there's an individual in this book that seemed to really experience it, as we're able to find out, it was Alessandro. I mean, you know, I think, you know, it does show an interesting thing. I mean, here they are coming, you know, and experiencing the unknown together, and then to be able to find each other along the way. I mean, what was it like for you to kind of explore how, you know, it not only were they making a fresh start in a very real way in their lives, but also planting the seed for what might be a fresh start for them together?
I think that I have a lot of people in my family that are very loyal, and I guess I kind of based his character on that idea that someone would fall in love with someone, and no matter what else happened in their life and no matter what else came up, they would still strive to be with that one person that they were in love with, and that nothing else in their life would get in the way of that. And so I think that's kind of how I came up with his character.
Yeah, what a cool thing. And I think what a great thing for all of us to be able to think about as we're reading a book like this. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. Christine Somocki is our guest for this segment. We're talking with her not only about the journey that led her to write the book Children of Italy, Love, Secrets, and Betrayal, but what it was like for her to peel back the layers of her own family, to kind of use it as a basis, and then, of course, now to be able to share this story with the world. Again, we'll be reminding you all a little bit later how you can stay connected with Christine. So let's talk about the world part of this, Christine, because not only are they traveling to a new place, but now here you are entering this territory as an author. What was that like for you? I mean, as some, you know, have discovered the fear of the unknown when it comes to going to a new place, you were charting, you know, some new territory with this book. What was it like for you to kind of make this transition?
Well, I was a teacher for a long time, and I was an English teacher, and as many English teachers will tell you, they love to read, and they love literature, and they love writing, and so it was kind of a natural transition to try my hand at writing myself. But it was pretty scary to take it from just my own story to put it out in the world. That's pretty scary, and I think that was kind of what the book was about too. That was about going out into the big wide world and it being scary, but it being worth trying if you have something that you think is important to get out there. So I think I kind of felt like that, like an immigrant myself, charting new territory with trying to be a writer and trying to put it out in the world after just having it just in your own brain.
Right. I think that is it. And I think, too, you know, I bring that up because I think, you know, there is this interesting thing that happens in a book like this where you're able to take, as you say, you know, bits and pieces of yourself and then, of course, include them in these characters. One of the quotes that you actually have in the book I actually wanted to share because I think it is an interesting thing for all of us to think about when it comes to our lives, no matter who we are. For those who have the print edition of the book, it's found on page 139. And it's, "Education is a natural process spontaneously carried out by the human individual. It is acquired not by listening to words, but by experiences upon the environment." And the reason I want to bring that up is because when I read this, I thought, you know, what an interesting way, too, as people are reading this historical fiction, to make them more curious about the places you're writing about, the time frame you're writing about. As a teacher, was that one of the things that you hoped as well, that you might get people excited to know, okay, what was life actually like for individuals making a trip like this, or where were they coming from, and what were their prospects in the new place that they were going to?
Oh, yes, definitely. I think as a teacher, I've always enjoyed history and always wanted to share with kids that you have to work hard and you have to really go out there and try to get what you want in life and you know, that it's not easy and things are a struggle, but it's worth it to try to better yourself and to try to do the best for you and for your family. And I wanted to include that quote by Maria Montessori because she was quite ahead of her time, being a woman and an Italian woman especially. Many people probably know that she was an educator and a physician, and so she. I just thought that sort of fit for the story, and for I just wanted to highlight what an innovative person she was at the time, and I think I always want kids to learn about history and to learn from the accomplishments of others. Try to help them see it's worth all the hard work.
For sure. And again, this book is all about family. The subtitle in the book is Love Secrets and Betrayal. Of course, the betrayal is something that the reader is able to discover quite easily, actually just by reading the back of the book, for sure.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the wife. Apollonia, is that correct?
Yes, very good, yes.
Okay. All right, so that's the second one I got. Okay, all right. So, I mean, so Apollonia, so far so good, right? But I still have a little way to go, so there's still time for some error there. But, you know, I wanted to bring Apollonia up because, especially after reading that quote, because, you know, I think it goes to another thing that is timeless in that we see in this book, again, taking place in the 1920s versus in 2016, there are so many women who will relate to Apollonia in being the one that's there to kind of take the lead after the husband is gone doing other things or trying to do other things, that is the figure and the strength that it takes for that. I mean, talk to us about, you know, who that was based on and for you, I mean, what that did for you as far as showing what is possible. Is this a character that was based on your grandmother?
Yes. She was actually based on my great-grandmother, and she lived in Italy with her three daughters while her husband was in the United States working on the railroads and the coal mines and the steel mills for 12 years. And he came back one time during that time. And otherwise, she, of course, it was in the day before social media or even decent telephones. I think that she saw him when he came back for a visit, but in the meantime she had letters but no photographs or no real conversation with him, and she had to be strong. And someone, an editor that was helping me with my book, said, oh, she seems so long-suffering, you know, and I said, well, she really was, or I think had to be, much stronger than just long-suffering. She had to take care of everything and raise children by herself and hope that someday she would see her husband again. I'm sure she had her doubts that maybe she would never join him. So I based it on her, and she, I didn't know her that well because she died when I was still fairly young, but just from my grandmother and my aunts, that she was quite a remarkable woman, though not, maybe not in a showy way. So many people probably didn't understand that, but she had to do a lot leaving Italy, not coming here, not speaking the language, was close to 40 years old when she came here. So it wasn't like she was a young person who was eager and excited about a new life. It was quite an undertaking to come to a place where she had no family, no friends, and didn't speak the language. So I think she was pretty awesome, and that she and my great-grandfather also were sacrificed a lot. I don't think that their lives were necessarily any better, but my life certainly is, and my mother's and my grandmother's lives were too.
Right. You know, one word we have not discussed, and I guess it's people will figure this out for themselves, but I'll go ahead and mention it now, Christine, is, you know, the issue of immigration. It is something, of course, you know, that's exactly what happened. You had these individuals who, you know, came from one place to another, you know, seeking a better life, wanting better for themselves and for their family. I think a book like this, and I've said it before on this program and other conversations I've had, I think so many times we can get kind of jaded by hearing numbers and not actually feeling as though we know individuals. I think a book like this reminds us that, you know, in any situation that we're discussing, it's more than just numbers. It's more than just, you know, in action. It really is about people. Is that another thing that you hope happens, is people are able to think about what, Luigi, is that right?
Yeah. Luigi, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, good. I got the third one.
Yeah.
All right. So you know, people like Luigi is able to do, and why he does it with his family. Do you hope that kind of helps in that narrative?
Yes, and I think another reason that I decided to write the book as well is I taught school and I worked with a lot of immigrants from Mexico. And it really brought home my family story to me when I would see what their lives were like as new immigrants to this country, and how hard it was, how hard their parents worked, and how much their parents wanted a better life for their children. And I think that was really impetus for me to keep going and write this story and try to get it out there, because it's really true for current day immigrants. And like you said, they're all people. They all have, you know, the main thing they want is for their children to have a good life. And that's really something everybody should be able to relate to, whether they,
right,
you know, have one opinion or another about immigration.
For sure. I totally agree. And I think that comes across in this book. And it's more impressed upon us, I think, Christine, because it is based on real experience. And I think that is the thing for all of us to be able to remember. Again, everyone, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm speaking today with author Christine Somolke. We're talking to her not only about her new book, Children of Italy, Love, Secrets, and Betrayal, but what it's been like for her to look at her own family history and to look at the chapters of her own life and past. And then, of course, to be able to write a book like this where characters are able to remind us all about that as well. That connective tissue that I mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, Christine, is that also something that you hope people who are reading this book will then be able to be curious about, you know, what makes them who they are and the people who came before them, and getting to better know those who made their current life and situation possible?
Yes, I really think that when you're a young person, say, you know, in your teens or your 20s, you're more about yourself and thinking, and you have to be, because you have to think about how to become a responsible adult and how to take care of yourself. And so everything is about you, and you don't really think that much about your ancestry. But as you get older, you really do develop more of an interest in that, and you really appreciate, you know, what maybe your ancestors did for you, or how they overcame things or undertook things. And so I do think that I do hope that people will be able to relate to that, wanting to know where you come from and what your family kind of made of, or what they did that really has impacted your life. When you're young, you might not think about that impact, but as you get older, you see that it definitely affects who you are and how you've done things, or how you have been lucky or unlucky in your life.
Yeah.
So, yes, I do think that.
Yeah. You mentioned something I have to go back to, Christine, about life being better for the individuals that we're able to read about in the book, like Children of Italy, and thinking about, though, how, because of what others did, your life is better. I think that, you know, really shows an appreciation for not only, again, what we were just talking about, you know, where we come from, but also who we are. I think it also shows, though, you know, the power of resilience and the power of being able to look past where you are and to think about what's possible. How has that helped you in moving forward and thinking about what you're now being able to leave and to share with others, whether it's in the classroom or in the home?
Oh, I just think it was such a sacrifice what my family did coming here, and that they really gave up a lot, and their life probably wasn't better. It was probably just a day-to-day struggle, and they were poor and they were fish out of water, and they got worked the hardest and got the worst jobs and just tried to. To me, just the fact that they just kept plugging along and kept trying to be happy and do family things and make life the best they could, to me, it just makes me want to be appreciative and want to help other people, and especially help other people who aren't doing that well, because I know that in my family, people before me weren't doing as well as I am, and I think it makes me feel connected to everybody who comes here from another place, because really all Americans are from somewhere else if you go far back enough.
Right.
So I think it's really affected my life to learn about my family and to learn what they did really coming to the U.S. because I've been to other countries and I've seen how other people live, and I really think we are very, very lucky here. And
yeah.
I wouldn't have that if it weren't for my family's determination to change things and come here.
Right. And, of course, as we're wrapping up this conversation, the old saying, a picture is worth a thousand words, you were able to share some pictures from your family, some personal family pictures. What was it like for you to not only to look at those pictures and now to have the story to go along with it, a story that now we're able to share and to become familiar with because of your sharing it?
Oh, I loved having the pictures. At first, the publisher said, we were like, let's put a picture on the cover, but it seemed more like a memoir that way, and then mm-hmm. historical fiction, so we decided to put them in the back. But I think I've had readers tell me that they like being able to put a face to the character in the story, and the pictures do tell a lot to me, especially as a person who likes to write and come up with sort of a backstory for what was going on when that picture happened. And I have their passport picture, and that's very interesting mm-hmm. because the three girls and the mother all took their passport photo together as a group, and so that was different. And and I started the story with them wearing what they were wearing in the picture, and I other characters I use what they look like in the picture within the story, and I like having the pictures, and I think a lot of people like having old family photographs, especially as they get older.
Sure. Definitely reminds us again of the importance of holding on to those memories and remembering those who came before us and those who impacted, again, as I mentioned earlier, Christine, those who impacted the person that we have become. Again, everyone, Christine Samolke has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Christine, as I knew it was going to be. The book is called Children of Italy, Love Secrets and Betrayal. It's available now through our friends at Amazon.com. You all can get it for yourself there. And Christine, how can our audience stay connected with you and keep up what's coming up next for you?
Oh, thank you. Well, let's see. If you're going to be in Philadelphia, I'll be there in November 5th at the library. And you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. And you can go to my publisher's website. It's HawkinsPublishingGroup.com. And I'd like to give a shout out to my publisher, Martise Hawkins, and to my publicist, Javier Perez. And I'd be glad to have, if you'd like to contact me on Facebook, I'd love to have a conversation with anybody who's interested and wants to talk about anything about the book or just about immigration or books in general. I'd love to connect with readers and book clubs if anybody's interested in having me come to their book club. If it's been within 10 hours of my house, I'll drive and visit with your book club.
All right. Well, you've heard the invitation here, so make sure you all are staying connected with Christine. We've already tagged her on Facebook and Twitter. I'll remind you all of that here in just a moment. Christine, again, congratulations to you on the book, and thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Well, Cyrus, it was a privilege to be on your program. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, the pleasure's definitely on mine. And I definitely agree with Christine. I want to thank Javier Perez, who's booked some amazing guests for this program. Thank him for sharing Christine with us. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. If you all came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Christine, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. I've tagged Christine there. You all can click on the link, listen to the show completely for free, and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.